last 2 weeks I've had a picture, the same picture during worship, and that is chains around people that just disintegrate. I see it over you, I see it over me, that we are no longer slaves. We're a bondservant to Christ, but that's our choice, to serve him. But we're no longer slaves. Jesus sets you free. So I just declare to you this morning that you are freed indeed. You are freed indeed. I speak liberty to your hearts this morning. I speak liberty to your minds this morning. I speak liberty to your emotions. You are free in Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Free indeed, free indeed, free indeed. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. There is nothing, child, there is nothing you have to fear. You are in the Father's hand. You are free indeed, free, free to look up, free to hear my voice, free to let my voice come through. Free for my spirit to strengthen you this morning. Oh, you're free, child. You're free indeed. Let the chains fall off. You can't get them off. Your understanding can't break them off. The anointing breaks that yoke. My spirit breaks that yoke. Just look up and yield. You're free indeed. You are free. You are free. Oh, let that freedom saturate you. Let that freedom break those chains off your mind. Let that freedom just strengthen your spirit. Oh, let that freedom restore your soul. You are free indeed. You are free indeed. You are free indeed. You are mine. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. We belong to you. We've been translated from that kingdom of darkness. We've been translated from that kingdom of fear into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We've been translated into the kingdom of power, into the kingdom of love. We've been translated into the kingdom of a sound mind. Oh, Father, we just let that kingdom reign in our lives today. That's who we are. That's where we are. And we thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah.
Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Good to experience the presence of the Lord and the word of the Lord, and tell you what, we're excited. We're just going to continue right on in that flow of the word of God this morning, and we're going to start with a passage of scripture this morning in the book of Acts, and we see Jesus' parting words here. He says in Acts chapter 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, Why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. So here again, we see Jesus' parting words. His parting words really represent where we are today. We are here with the power of the Holy Spirit telling people everywhere throughout the whole world the good news of Jesus Christ. That is it. That is where we are. That is what God has called and commanded us to do, and we are excited about it, and this is the Father's business that we're about here and now. But even though we know this, he also leaves us not only these parting instructions of what to do, but we're also left with a parting promise that this same Jesus that has been taken from you into heaven will return from heaven. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus and his mission down here, and we know the amazing things that he did for the Father, much kind of like our commission. He had that commission from the Father, saying what he heard the Father say, doing what he saw the Father do. He went through the junk down here. He said, marvel not if the world hates you. It hated me before it hated you. Has to go through stuff. But the scripture says about Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he was able to endure the cross and despise the shame. There was a joy set before him, which is basically us, our salvation, our being able to be with him forever and him being seated again at the right hand of the Father. There was a joy that was set before him. And so we see here, yeah, we've got a commission now, but there's a joy that is set before us too. The scripture calls this our blessed hope. You know, in these days, these last days that we feel and sense that we're in already, just the different things that are going on in the world, we're actually taking some time in our Wednesday nights to talk about what we're calling end times and current events. We're just kind of taking a look at what the Bible prophesies would happen in the end times and taking a look at our current events as far as what's going on and kind of looking at them together in tandem. It's been an interesting, we just got started last Wednesday, but we're going to be going down this path. And so we see here that we've got this amazing promise from God that he's going to return. That's what we call those end times, when Christ returns. He's coming back. In other words, as glorious as verse 8 is, that's not an eternal verse. That's a temporary time that has a beginning point and an end point. And there is a promise that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to this earth that he ascended from. And so this morning, we're going to talk, minister along the lines of the return of Jesus Christ. All right? You know, it's interesting when you look at, statistically in the scriptures, that for every one Bible prophecy regarding the first coming of Christ, Christmas, the first Advent, there are 8 prophecies that look forward to the return of Christ. It's an 8-to-1 ratio in the Word as far as declaring the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in there. It's a big part of preaching the Word, is preaching the return of Jesus Christ. And we saw that when Jesus came the first time, there was a ministry of John the Baptist preparing people's hearts for the coming of the Lord. And I've just sensed in my spirit, too, there is a ramping up of an awareness that the Lord is coming back. He's coming back. The scripture has a lot to say about the coming of the Lord, our hearts being ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, when we look into the Word of God at the return of Jesus Christ, it really helps bring our lives into focus. You talk about big picture stuff. This is it. He's coming back for his church. He's coming back for us. And so as we're looking at the return of Christ this morning, I want to take a look at a few things that he is returning to and returning for and returning with. So the first aspect of the return of Jesus Christ that we want to look at this morning is the fact that he's returning for you, okay? He's not just returning for the church, he's returning for you. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. All right, this is end game stuff. He is coming back for us, very specifically. You know, you can hear about Christianity, you can hear about the religion, you can hear about the concept of a guy died on the cross for your sins. All right, I understand the logic of that, and I can see that, and that's what Christians believe. But at some point, As a believer in Jesus, the Holy Spirit revealed to you your own sinful condition. And when you heard that message, the Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And somebody declares Jesus died on that cross. God raised him from the dead. If you believe on him, you will have eternal life. And at some point, you saw your sin on that cross. At some point, he became your Savior. At some point, the power and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ relieved your guilt and your shame. You felt that personal relief. And a lot of times, even as we're ministering, we're trying to locate people spiritually, we say, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm not saved because of an acknowledgement of a theological position. At some point, he has to be my Lord, my Savior. I have to believe that God raised him from the dead. I have to call upon his name, the Lordship, and declare the Lordship of Jesus over my life. There is something personal about the gospel. And what we got to realize, too, is that when he's coming back for you. In the same way, there's nobody he died on that cross more than he died for you. There's nobody he's coming back for more than he's coming back for you. We've got to be able to see that, realize it. There's a real personal connection that the Lord wants us to have with his return. 1 Thessalonians, here's a couple scriptures again along the same lines. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. I mean, wow. This is the joy that is set before us. Philippians says, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. So we see the event where Christ is coming back, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. We're caught up. Our bodies are changed from mortal bodies into a glorious body like his. So these are the things that we're looking forward to. These are the things that point to what's going to happen at the return of Christ. Now, these are things that I've heard for years and throughout the years and whatnot, but I'll tell you what, it was actually September, and it was September of 2014, 8 years ago. God gave me a dream of this, and it was a vivid dream because, like most of us, I think, yeah, that's kind of cool. It's a little ethereal. It's out there, and, you know, it's like, well, that's amazing. It's great. It's a hope, but I'll tell you what, I had a dream that was so vivid and so clear of this event. And as I was dreaming, you know, and you're not preparing. It was out of the blue. I remember there was nothing, you know, you get a kind of a spiritual dream like this and you think, what was I doing? Where was I looking? What was I eating? What was that, you know, that kind of thing. How did I have this dream? You know, cause and effect or something like that. But it was a clear, vivid dream. And as I was dreaming, and I didn't really realize what I was dreaming at the time or what it was going to happen, but it was just me and my dad and my brother, and it was nighttime, and we were just walking through kind of a wooded area a little bit. There was kind of like this open kind of plain area, but there was like this circumference of kind of this woods around this open area. And I remember we were just kind of walking through the woods, and all of a sudden, there was these really cool, like, white, bright, sprite lights just kind of flickering, almost like circular. You know, it was like I could see something here and something there. And your first thought is, wow, shooting star, comet, something. You know, your mind is just, you're pulling from the resources of your understanding to reconcile things. Then all of a sudden, it was like there were more of these little kind of bright, sprite, spinny things. And it just filled the circumference of the sky in a flash. And all of a sudden, at that moment in my dream, I realized, nope, I can't explain this. I've got nothing that can connect dots to say that. And all of a sudden, I just began to think in my mind, could this be? Could this be? And just as I was literally completing that thought in my mind, could this be the return of the Lord? There was an amazing, it was like an exclamation shout. You know, the scripture says, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an angel. And there was like a trumpet, there was a shout, it was like piercing, it was commanding, it was majestic, and it just lit up the sky. And it was like, whoa! And in my first thoughts, this is really happening. This is really happening. And you could see the glory of Jesus Christ, kind of that central figure, just the glory of God, and you can just see around him, just angelic beings around him. And there was a, you know, this angelic, you know, it's not like, praise God. It was just like this piercing. It was so powerful. And it's like, wow. I remember my first thought was, you know, your instinctive fear of the Lord thought in a moment like that is, I am glad I'm with him. I believe in Jesus. That's my Lord. That's my Lord. You know? And in that moment when I saw that and I saw and I heard and I experienced that, it was interesting to me because instinctively what I did next was in a moment of time, I realized I'm about to get a new body. I put my hands out like this in my dream, you know, and I just thought, here we go. I'm about to get a new body. I've, you know, new territory, never done this before. And all of a sudden it's like, you know, because the scripture says in that moment, he's going to take our weak bodies, he's going to fashion them like unto his glorious body. In a moment of time, we'll all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And in that moment, I experienced just the power of God. And it was like, and this is exactly what happened in the dream, is what the scripture says. Set your mind on things above, not on things in the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And that's exactly what happened. In this moment, I'm experiencing him. I know change is coming. And the next thing I know, I'm in the presence of God. And it's like the throne of God. And all of a sudden, it's like, scene one is on the earth, but scene two is in the presence of God, in the glory of God. And all I'm seeing Jesus at the center, and I'm seeing saints around the throne. And it is the most amazing thing as I'm looking and I'm seeing saints around the throne, because here's the cool thing. In dreams, you know, all I can do is share my experience. When I was there around the throne, I recognized you guys. I recognized people. In our congregation, I recognized you there. But here's the deal. I couldn't tell you when I came out of that dream who I recognized. At the time, I recognized people because God wanted to show me that. But it wasn't like for the sake of, let so-and-so know that they're there. It's not that. You guys are all there. I'm sure you are all there, all right? Don't worry about it. I know you guys made her. But what the Lord was encouraging me was, I mean, this is real. You know, and you're in that place. You know, he has one look when you're on the earth and it's majestic. It's another thing when you're in the presence of God. It's a total different look. It's a total different feel. But what I realize is that, man, he came for me. He came for us, but I experienced it individually. I had my own, in the same way I had my own individual salvation experience. You know, I come forward at an altar call. And you can pray, but there is an individual experience when you receive that mercy and that grace in your life. And even though this glorious event is going to happen, you're going to have an individual experience with that event. It's going to be a unique experience for you when he comes back. You're going to be in your own, it'll be under your own context, and you're going to experience his coming. It's something worth looking forward to. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and I will receive you, that where I am, you may be also. And he wants us to know, there's like almost that clarion call of John the Baptist, the Lord is coming. Get ready. The Lord is coming. Get ready. Prepare your hearts. The Lord is coming. And what the Lord wants us to realize, he's coming back for you. There is a place that he's coming to. Now, not only is he coming back for you, all right? And when I was in that place, in that throne room, you can just see the glory of God and you can see all the saints. But there was a moment in that throne room when he was looking out across and he looked at me and he saw me. And we met eyes in that dream. And there again, it was like, yes, he loves the church. He loves the world. God loves you. there's an individual connection that he has with you in that. Now, I want to get into something else too, as we're going to kind of move along in this dream, but this dream has kind of unfolds in some different phases, and you'll kind of see how things kind of dovetail together here. He's not only returning for you, but he's returning to faith. This all still has to do with you too, but he's coming back to faith. Jesus one day told his disciples a story that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain day, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in my dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God, I don't care about the people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm gonna see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. He rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith?" The old King James says, "When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth?" He's not only returning for you, but he's returning to faith. The answer to our Lord's question is yes, he will find faith on the earth. I'm telling you what, this parable speaks volumes about where we are today. Injustice, things going on. What do we do? Do we give up? Do we get frustrated? We see that Jesus gave them this parable for a reason, to show that they should pray always and never give up. That's the first line. Will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? You can see there's a connection here between praying and not giving up and God finding faith on the earth. He's coming back for a glorious church. He's coming back for us. He's coming back to find faith on the earth. And it's important to realize too that this is where we are right now. This is where we have our decisions as far as, are we going to give up? I mean, you think about people that were, you know, I'm sure that this unjust judge ran into a lot of people, and a lot of people gave up. They said, "I just can't get justice." You get bitter. It's not fair. This situation's not fair. This relationship's not fair. This, you know, all the unfairness of life, you know, and that unfairness can turn you bitter. It can turn you sour. It can absolutely stop the work of God in your life. But there's something about believing in the character of God that Jesus wants to get across to us. If this unjust judge can deliver justice, there is a God in heaven who hears your prayer. There is a just God who will set everything right. You don't give up. Keep praying. Keep pressing in. He is there. And really, that kind of just, it brings me to that next place that I remember, in that vision. Like I said, it's like we're in that place, we're in that throne room, and then our eyes met. Jesus and my eyes met, and I saw him. And here's the cool thing. In that, you're in this atmosphere of glory, and there's Jesus in the saints and the angels. And the cool thing is, and I say this with zero sense of pride or arrogance, I knew I belonged there. I belong there. And the scripture says in Colossians, he's made us meet. He's made us worthy to be partakers of the divine inheritance. In other words, that's what it means to be born again. The old spiritual moral condition passed away, all became new. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In that moment, when I'm experiencing him and I'm seeing him, it's like I am experiencing not only him and his presence, but I'm experiencing the fullness of the new creation I am in Christ Jesus. No flesh, world, and the devil there. It's just, this is who I am. And it was just an amazing thing. I was just like, I belong here. That's my Lord. That's my God. This is my family. And there is something about when you get a look from Jesus and you see his kind, you look into the eyes of Jesus and he's looking back at you with a kindness and an understanding and a love for you and a compassion for you, it just breaks stuff off. It's just like that, just that stuff, just what else matters? You know, you think of, you know, Mary and Martha. Mary has chosen the one thing, and it won't be taken away from her. It's kind of like you're sitting around there at the feet of Jesus. You're looking at his eyes, and it's like, I belong here, and he loves me, and he's for me. There is something that happens in this day and age when, like the widow and the unjust judge, when life happens and things come our way, we've got to make a decision. We've got to make a decision. God loves us. He is for us. And when I saw that in that vision, in that, when I came out of that vision, this was the scripture that popped into my head right away. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, furthermore is also risen, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. In other words, I saw an active high priest, Lord Jesus Christ. I could see his love. I could see his power. I could see his glory. He's ministering on our behalf. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, look, pray and don't give up. Don't give up on me. I'm praying for you. I'm not giving up on you. I'm interceding for you. There's this in-between time from where we are now to when he comes. And when he comes back, he's going to find faith on the earth. He's going to find me believing in him, that you are just. Remember the story of the talent of the master with the different servants. He gave one a talent, another like 5 talents, another 10 talents, something like that. And then the one who had 10 talents made him 10 more. The one who had 5 made him 5 more. And the one who had just 1 talent, he said, I knew you were a hard man. You reap where you haven't sowed. You gather where you haven't planted. Therefore, I just buried it. Here's your talent. He said, what happened ultimately to that kind of, he said, he called him a wicked and slothful servant. He judged his master wrong. There's a lot of things that we can go through down here that we can begin to point the finger back at God as unjust. But God is saying, no, nope. If an unjust judge does what is right, I am just. I'm always going to come through. Don't let life, the Bible also says kind of an end time event, that because of the iniquity and all the corruption we see, the love of many is going to grow cold. There's going to be a jadedness towards spiritual things. But he's saying, no. He's saying, I love you. I'm for you. I'm still interceding for you. And when I saw that, I saw him and I saw his kind look. It was like, man, if God is for you, who can be against you? There is a joy of the Lord that comes from his love, that comes from his face. I remember hearing a story back in one of those, it was kind of the old, one of the old classic Turner broadcast, one of the old, I think it was TBN or something. It was a Jan Crouch. It was her testimony back in 73 when they were still trying to get ministry off the ground. She went to a really big, deep state of depression. She couldn't even function. They had kids, and she's just in bed. She just can't even do anything. She's stuck, all right? And she has this dream. And in her dream, she dreams that she's back in Bible days, and she's just kind of along the seashore, and she's just walking, you know, toward these people, you know, who are like Bible characters back in Bible times wearing Bible clothes. And she noticed kind of leaning next to the tree was Jesus. And next to him were a bunch of his disciples. And they were just kind of hanging out and chatting. And all of a sudden, one of the disciples whispered something in Jesus' ear. And she said, Jesus looked up at him, and he just broke out in laughter and was just laughing and laughing and laughing. So hard in the dream, Jesus is just laughing. And she said, when she saw Jesus laughing, she began to laugh and laughing in her dream. And she said, she literally woke up in that dream laughing. You know, have you ever had one of those where you're laughing in your dream? I tell Julie, don't wake me up from those dreams. Let me sleep. I'll tell you about it when I wake up. You know, you don't get them a lot, but she had that. And what happened? The joy of the Lord is your strength. She saw Jesus joyful. She saw him happy. She saw the joy of the Lord. And she, it was like revelation when she woke up. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, there's so many things that can complicate us and get us heavied out. But just one look from Jesus, one reassuring look that I love you, I'm with you, I'm for you, breaks off a bunch of stuff, just doesn't matter anymore. When you know that you know that you know that you know that, that's what I experienced in my dream. There was a look that I had from him. We were singing about it. I am yours, you are mine. That connection, that belonging. And what does the Bible say? Perfect love casts out all fear. And it's just like you're in the presence of perfect love. And sometimes you don't even realize that you're dealing with fear and insecurity until you realize you don't need it anymore. It's not that I shouldn't go there. I don't need to go there anymore because of something that I'm seeing of him. There's a security that you get from him that makes you not have to go there anymore. It's a love that casts out that fear. Sometimes things are answered in the presence of God. You know, you already have the theology. You just get in the presence of God and the power of the Spirit of God. No flesh can glory in his presence. And you get in the presence of God and it's like, wow. You know, because so many times, a lot of the things that we even do in flesh, we don't even realize that a lot of the flesh stuff is serving the fear and different. And when the fear is gone, you don't need flesh stuff anymore. He's just Jesus. And it's good and it's right. He loves me and he's for me. There's a look from the Savior that just amazingly will secure you. And what do we see here? Here's kind of our response to this. He's ever living to make intercession for us, seeing that we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens. That's the ascension. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is where I want to be when the Lord comes back. This is where there's faith in the earth. Praise God. I am boldly before that throne of grace. I'm letting him know what's going on. I'm not turning my back on God. I'm not getting a cold heart at the injustices that are in the world or the injustices in my life. He is a great and merciful high priest. He's going to find faith in the earth. He's going to find, this is where I prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way. Pray and don't give up. Don't let your heart become jaded in these times of lawlessness and spiritual cynicism and just a blatant blasphemy against our God and heresies in the church. Don't let your heart become hardened. Don't let it become cold. Keep your heart warm and tender. Stay at this throne of grace. He looks at you. He loves you. There is a look, a personal look that he has toward you. He's not just coming back for you. He's coming back for faith. And I'll tell you, when he comes back to the earth, I want to be in faith. I'm glad, you know, I was with my brother and my dad in the woods walking around when he came back. Could have been a lot worse, you know, when he came back. I'm glad that my heart and my mind was right, and that's where I want to be. I want to live like he's coming. There is when you live with an expectancy of his coming, it'll cause you to live right. It'll cause you to live right and healthy. And don't be ashamed or feel belittled for having an excited expectancy for the return of the Lord. Sometimes we say, well, that's just a cop-out. You're just not taking care of the business down here. And, you know, you shouldn't have your head in the clouds. You should be taking care of stuff down here. That's just not scriptural. The scripture tells us, the Apostle Paul says, he's eagerly waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see a few more scriptures along those lines too. We're told to eagerly wait, to be looking for the glorious appearing of our great God. There should be an expectancy. That expectancy causes you to live a certain way. And that's the way he wants us to live, with that sense of expectancy. It's not spiritual. What it's about, we saw it, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. I remember hearing a story about a guy who was just going about his day, and he was just excited about life and just enjoying the fresh air and the birds and just God's creation. And you know, sometimes the worst thing you can do is run into a preacher. I'm sorry to say that. But he ran into a preacher, and he said, "Hey, Reverend so-and-so, isn't it a beautiful day?" Well, he's like, "Oh, yeah, I guess. I suppose." Yes. He said, "Yeah, just enjoying." He said, "Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of starving people in the world. And there's a lot of people that still don't know about Jesus in this world. What about them?" And the guy was going, "Yeah, I guess I wasn't thinking about them at this moment." Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem with people in the world today. They don't care. They don't think about what's going on around them. You know, And said, okay, I'm sorry, kind of went on. And he went and he asked his pastor about that. He said, is that right? He said, no, that's not right. We are, well, let's go back and look at the actual scripture. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Am I aware of things that are going on down the earth? Yes, I am. But I'm setting my mind on things above. I'm not letting the nightly news dwell in me richly. I'm letting the Word of God dwell in me richly. That's where the richness is. It's from this place I can do something about the stuff that's going on things on the earth. But it's no test of spirituality that I'm looking at everything evil and bad that's going on the earth. I'm not commanded to do that. I'm not commanded to set my mind there. I'm going to be aware for sure, but my mind is set on things above. I'm looking at his gaze. You look down here, people are telling you all kinds of stuff, but when you got your mind set on things above, when you got your mind set on that gaze, man, it's different. When you got your mind at the throne of grace, and the gaze of his kindness is looking back at you, man, then you got power, love, and a sound mind. You got a place from where you can begin to minister and talk and deal with some of those things. But don't ever let anyone belittle you about an excitement for the return of Jesus. It's part of your blessed hope, having that excitement about the return of Jesus. It doesn't mean that you're a spiritual weakling or a wimp or anything like that. No, it just means that you've got a joy that is set before you, and that joy is helping you to endure the cross and despise the shame in the meantime. That's not cheating. You can enjoy and enjoy that expectancy. Jesus is coming back. Praise God. It doesn't stop me from doing the here and now stuff, but I got a joy set before me that helps me in the here and now. Jesus had one set before him. We have one set before us. He let it get him through some of those hard times down here. We can let that blessed hope be an anchor for our soul. Can help settle us. Finally, he's not just returning, but he's returning with rewards. This is interesting. Jesus said, behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward. Now, who has said that he's coming back quickly? Not his disciples. Jesus said, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And so we see that Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back quickly, and he's coming back with rewards, okay? That means he's going to actually, what we do down here counts, what we do down here matters. He's coming with rewards. So there's a reunion with Christ, but there's something that he's coming to give us. So we're talking about, again, the return of Jesus Christ. He's returning for you. Praise God. He loves you. He's returning to faith. He's returning to your faith in this earth, but he's returning with him with rewards. There's things that he has for you, for the life that you live down here. It is so important. You know, when I was in that vision, like I said, there was kind of like three phases to it. The first one was kind of the earth scene. The second one was the kind of the throne room scene, if you will, just with the throne and angels and all that. But after we caught his glance and he was just looking at me, it was like it went to a third scene and we were talking one-on-one. We were just totally hanging out. If any of you have seen like The Chosen, where you kind of see that depiction of Jesus kind of hanging out with somebody, talking and chatting, kind of that visual, that's like what it was. I was still in glory, but it was one-on-one in glory. And here's the cool thing. He was talking to me about my life. He was talking to me about specific people in my life. He was talking to me about Door of Life and Door of Life situations. And my first thought was, I'm amazed he really knows about it. I mean, I know he knows, but wow, you care. I mean, yeah, I know you care. You know, you can't theologically get out of this, but it's like, whoa, the King of Glory? Is that intimately aware of the details of my life? And there was just something about knowing that he knew in our conversation. Again, earth, throne room, one-on-one. This is like a throne of grace one-on-one. Me and Jesus. It was just me and him. And reading your mail, the Bible says all things are naked and open before him whom we must give account. I mean, it was clear. But hearing him talk and articulate the situations of my life and the scenarios and the relationships, I can't tell you how comforting that was, just knowing he knew.
I mean, you kind of know by faith he knows everything. He knows the hairs of my head. Yeah, yeah, I'd pass the test. I'd get it right on a test. But in this dream, it was so real. It was so vivid. It was like, wow, you totally know what's going on with my life. It was like, wow, my prayers really do matter then too. You know, what I'm praying, what I'm trusting, casting, that's a real thing, you know, and God is really working with that. God is, you know, there's stuff going on at that throne of grace. And here's the amazing thing too. He talked to me about specific stuff that in the moment I was like engaged, I was made that he knew it. But then when I came out of that dream, I have no idea specifically what we were talking about. Again, in the same way, the purpose of the dream wasn't to show who was in heaven or what the things, it was to just show that. It was to show that this is real and that I do care. The takeaway was that he cares for you. It was an amazing thing. And it was interesting in this particular scene, scene three, when we're just conversing, it was like as we were talking, it was almost like there was a, you know, if you're in movies or production, it was like there was a panning back of the camera. And I went from talking to Jesus to seeing myself talk to Jesus. And I couldn't even distinctly understand what we were saying at that point. I could see myself, us talking, and then I woke up from the dream. Like I came, you know, and that was it. That was the end of the dream. And kind of what I had pulled through was just like, wow, man, what I'm doing down here, Matt, he sees what I'm doing. It really has a big impact. It's powerful. It's important to him. You know, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. We're about our Father's business. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. He has ordained us to walk in. And these are words we understand kind of conceptually, but it's really real. That's all I'm saying. That's kind of what preparing the way is. Hey, you know, clarion bell, this is real. This is really true. Get ready. Get your heart ready. Get ready for the coming of the Lord. Get your heart ready for the coming of the Lord. And so that was the urgency, the excitement that I pulled through. It's almost like when I woke up, I was having this conversation with Jesus, and when like I woke up, I could just like keep that conversation going. I could just like go right back to that throne of grace and just keep on with that conversation. But it was that real, that he is coming back. He's coming back with rewards for the things that we did. The scripture tells us here in Titus, we made a reference to the scripture before, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, praise God, that grace saved us, but that grace doesn't stop there. It goes on to teach us something. What does it teach us? It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That's today. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. The grace that saves us gets us focused and gets us useful for the kingdom of God. And these things that we do for the kingdom of God are huge. They bless the heart of God. We're going to close with this final scripture here in 1 Corinthians. It says, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will be transformed. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. What a connection of thought between the return of the Lord and whatever you do for the Lord, it's never useless. Every little thing. You are going to be rewarded for things you forgot you did. You're going to be rewarded for influence you had in a way that you didn't even realize you had the influence. You were shining and you didn't even know you were shining. You're just kind of doing what you're doing. And God's going to show you. You know, you kind of hear that ripple effect sometimes that can have an impact for generations. God's going to show you some things. But the cool thing of it is part of the return of the Lord and the excitement of the return of the Lord is really what I'm doing for God matters. You know, I'm going to be busy about the Father's business. I want to be working when he comes. I want to be doing his will. I want to be, whatever I do for the Lord, it's never useless. There's going to be a one-on-one time of rewards. You know, where he's going to give you something that is going to bless you. I've often thought about that. What is that going to look like when God gives me something? How is that? What's that reward going to look like? We were at Lindsay's house and seeing Owen and Maybell and kind of playing with them. And before we left, Owen gave me a little picture to remember him by. A little stick guy. And it was so cute, you know, just to remember. And, you know, I have that. I've got that cherished. It's right on my, you know, right on my desk with all my other memorabilia and stuff like that. And I look at that and it is just like, praise God. Has nothing to do with the content of the paper and the crayon. Nothing. It's not the mineral content. It's the expression of what was in Owen's heart when he made that for Grandpa. All right? That's the precious. God is going to give you something to say thank you. And you're not going to be thinking diamonds, but no, it's going to be something God made just for you to say thank you. A reward. You're not saved by good works, but he does reward your good works. He does give you something. And when you've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, that reward will still be saying, thank you. Thank you for loving people. Thank you for doing what I asked you to do. I mean, he's coming with rewards. We need to stir ourselves up. We need to stir ourselves up at the return of the Lord. We need to kind of go, he's coming back. This is real. We're not on a treadmill down here. We're in a temporary season that's going to end in glory. There's a joy that is set before us in the same way that there was a joy that was set before Jesus. He's coming back for you. Praise God. And when he comes back, he will find faith on the earth. He will see you at the throne of grace, not with a fist in his face, but with open arms, trusting and declaring your love for him and his lordship over your life, bearing 10 talents, 20 talents, 1,000 talents for his glory. Whatever he gave you, you're giving back to him because he's just. He is holy. He is righteous. I'm judging my master correctly, and I'm seeing him correctly no matter what is going on in this world. And he's coming back. He's coming back with something just for you. He's coming back with something to say thank you that he makes just for you. I mean, when I was there, and I'm talking shop one-on-one about all the little details of my life, I'm going, man, I mean, I just saw him split the sky, and then I see him in the presence of all the saints, and now he's talking shop with me about my day-to-day stuff? Really? Yeah. He's that intimate. And when he gives you that reward, he's going to remind you of that thing. This is real. That's all I'm saying. We got to get stirred up. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. John had to stir them up to prepare their hearts. We need to get stirred up. He said he's coming quickly. And I believe him. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you love us, that you're coming back. Help us to remember, Father, that wonderful truth, that joy that is set before us. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I believe your word. I believe your promise that this same Jesus who went up into heaven is going to come back in like manner. And he's coming back for me. You prepared a place for me, Jesus. I see it. I thank you. I'm excited for your return. And when you come back, you're going to find faith on the earth. I'm going to be at the throne of grace. I'm judging you correctly. You are just. You are good. You are holy. And I will always trust you. And I will do what you've called me to do. Make clear in my heart that next thing you have for me. Whatever I do for you, it's never useless. It's precious to you. It's precious to me. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. So be encouraged this morning. This is going to happen. This is part of our faith. Every time we take communion, you know, we break that bread and we drink that cup, not forever. Till the Lord comes. That communion table is there to help us, point us to this joy that is set before us. But man, let's let that joy stabilize us. The scripture says it's like an anchor to your soul. If you've ever been fishing, you know, and you drop an anchor, I mean, we'd do this as me and my brothers, my dad, when we'd be fishing bluegills out of the bay, you know, then you got the waves and that. You put down those anchors, you know, the anchors are going to keep you from bunking into the shore, all right? They're not going to keep the waves from going up against the boat. You're still going to feel some of the unqueasiness, but it's going to keep you steady. It's going to keep you from getting shipwrecked into that shore. It'll hold you steady. And when you let the return of Jesus Christ anchor your soul, yeah, I don't understand this or that, but there is a joy. There is a coming. He's coming back. I'm not going to let him sway the way I see him. I'm going to let that joy of the Lord be my strength. I'm going to let it anchor my soul. And I'm going to look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God.